This morning I'm starting a series, three-part series, about leadership, actually, and calling it Visionaries. And to give you some background, last year sometime, I met with some of our leaders from Cape Town, and I was just shocked. At some stage, some of them said that I am a visionary. And I thought, really? You think so? And I sort of started thinking, but what is a visionary? What does it actually mean? And then the Lord started to speak to me about it. And then also in October, I felt God speaking to me, saying that in this church, He's going to be raising up leaders. Leaders that will not just affect this community, but even affect the nations. And so I really just want to go with it. I want to say, yes, Lord, we receive that. And so I want to share a little bit about it. What does it take to be a leader? What does it take to be somebody that shapes the world? So this week I'm going to share about becoming a leader that shapes the world. And then next week I will be sharing about how to raise up leaders that shapes the world. In other words, if you are in a leadership position already, how to actually raise up the people under your authority. And then there are a few people, different groups of people here. You might already switch off saying, well, I am not a leader and I will never be a leader. And I'm going to share something about that in a moment. But just quickly, just some definitions. A visionary leader, according to the dictionary, somebody having or marked by foresight and imagination. Somebody that can see into the future, in a sense. They have a feeling for what's coming, but also they have an imagination. They're creative. They're not just in the box people. They're outside of the box people. And now for me, a biblical visionary leader would be then somebody that has supernatural foresight and imagination that enables them to shape the world around them. And give me a few just a scripture here to lay a foundation. Acts 2 verse 17, it says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." If you're a Christian, if you've committed your life to God, then you're part of the all flesh. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So three areas there. Now, Almighty God, He knows the future. He sees everything that's coming. And also He is off the charts creative because He created everything. So He's imaginative. Now, if you and I have relationship with Him, then there's the download that happens where that foresight, the foresight that God has, we receive. That creativity that He has becomes ours. And so we are able to become the leaders God has called us to be. And it says here in the last days, it defines visions, people who can see. Now last night, I couldn't sleep, which often happens on Saturday evenings. And so I felt I must go pray. And then I went to pray a bit. And I felt God showing me a picture. I saw a worm eating somebody's clothes. Okay, now those who were here last week, Nas spoke about spiders. This week, we're talking about worms. But I saw this worm eating somebody's clothes, and I felt God saying to me that there are two groups of people here this morning. Some of you, this worm is eating your dreams. It's sort of a picture of lies you've received in your life, where you tell yourself, "I'm too old. It's too late. I can't make the changes to become a person that makes an impact on this world." So that's some of us. Then there's another group. I felt the eating of the clothes sort of speaks of righteousness. When we become a Christian, God clothes us with new clothes. And He makes us perfect in His sight. And I felt that there's another area where people receive lies. Some of us think, "It can't be me. I am not leadership material. I am not good enough. I can't do it. It's just not me." And this morning I want to tell you it's a lie. It's a lie. If you meet with God, if you see Him, if you experience Him, you become a leader. You can't help it. You just become. And I'm going to share about that, how that works. But when you see God, there's a miracle that happens on the inside of us. So my question to you is, what lies are you receiving? Do you have a worm eating there away at your dreams? A worm eating away at your self-image, your identity? Are there lies telling you, I can't? Or have you met with God and you start to dream, you start to believe? Okay, so I'm going to share a few things around that so we can start believing. So what type of leader shapes the world? I believe three things are necessary for somebody to be a leader that shapes the world. I'm going to look at these three things this morning. The first thing is, he needs to see God. You need to see God. Secondly, you need to see what God is doing. You need to see His works. You need to see His hand. And then thirdly, you need to have the courage to partner with Him. You need the courage to step out and partner with Him in what He is doing. Okay, so we're going to look at those three things. So the first one, seeing God. Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 2. Now if you go read the book of Isaiah, it is a challenging time in the nation. If you read the first verse, it says that it was the year that King Uzziah died. So Isaiah says, the king died. When the king dies, then there's political chaos. Now there's action. New guys wanting to take the throne. There are challenges in the nation. And then Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. So Isaiah saw into the spirit realm. He saw God's throne room. He saw God seated on the throne. And if you even read the next verse, there it speaks, the angels were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Now if you were Isaiah, you would say, don't think the earth is filled with glory. Our nation is in chaos. It's really, really challenging time. But this reveals the key to be an effective leader, a visionary leader. You need to see God. This seeing of God transformed Isaiah. It changed him. It anchored him. It set him, aligned his life correctly. And so for every leader, for every person that wants to make a change in this world, we need to be aligned correctly. I believe every one of us, inside of us, want to make a difference. Unless you've oppressed it and suppressed it, every one of us wants to make a difference. Every one of us wants to see lives change. We want to, but unfortunately, so often these lies and things neutralizes us. And so, you and I need to see God. When I came to the Lord when I was about 18, and I must say, I never imagined that I would impact the lives of people at all. But when I saw God, I started to believe. When I saw Him, I started to believe. Because He spoke to me, He changed me, and I said, I have a calling upon your life, I have a plan for your life. And so He has for each of us, for each and every one of us. All you need to do is receive it, believe it, and then pursue that place where you can see Him. John Maxwell says, anyone can steer the ship, but it takes a leader to chart the course. Anybody can take a wheel and turn it, but it takes a leader to chart the course. I say it takes more than just a leader. It takes a visionary leader to receive from God the direction we need to go. And this is what I want to highlight here. Your compass. How's your compass? Is your compass aligned? You see, your heart is a compass. It determines the way you walk. And you need to align your heart correctly. A normal compass would connect to magnetic north, which is just a little bit off true north. But so each of us have sort of a magnetic north, something that pulls us, something that aligns us. How's your alignment? How's your alignment? How's your compass? I believe for us to be visionary leaders, we need to align correctly. And the key, and it's what Dion shared this morning as well, is our love for God, our first love. Look at this passage, Revelation chapter 2. It says, I know your works. This is Jesus appearing to the apostle John. And then Jesus speaks directly to John the apostle, words or messages for different churches. And then John writes this down. This is so profound. This is critical. I know your works. This is Jesus speaking to the specific church of Ephesus. Your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you've persevered. And have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Wow, now that's such a compliment. I wouldn't mind Jesus saying that about me. You've been doing a great work. You've been faithful, persevering. You've not fallen for the schemes of wicked men. You are focused, doing the work of the ministry. And then Jesus says in the next verse, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. It says, left your first love. Jesus saying, guys, your compass is out. Your ability to determine direction is out. It's out of sync. It is out of line. And the result is you are making decisions. You are charting a course that is out. It's out. Imagine having a compass, but it's not pointing to magnetic north, but you think it's pointing to magnetic north. You're gonna go off track. You're going to chart off the edge of the world and fall off. A few years ago, maybe. How's your compass? I found that this is one of the biggest challenges for leadership, and especially when you get very involved in Christianity, is you get so busy with the things of God that you miss God. And so you need to align yourself. And how you do that? You must see God. You must see Him with the eyes of your heart. You need to see Him. You need to be able to align your compass every day. This is the most important thing for any leader, for any Christian. Are you in love with Jesus? Are you in love with Jesus? And I've been there where you get so busy and you sort of, I mean, it's all for Jesus, but it's not about Jesus anymore. And so it becomes a burden. Christianity becomes a burden. Life becomes a burden because you disconnect from God. So the one is your first love. When you see God, the result is you start to love Him. And then the second area as well, Isaiah 6 verse 5 in the Message translation. It says, Isaiah, after he's now seen God, he cries out and he says, I said, doom. It's doomsday. I'm as good as dead. Every word I've ever spoken is tainted. Blasphemous even, and the people I live with talk the same way, using words that corrupt and desecrate, and here I've looked God in the face, the King, God of the angel armies. He saw God, fearsome in His glory. Beautiful. For us to be leaders, true leaders that impact this world, impact your workplace, impact your family, impact your friends. Wherever you want to bring change, you need to have your first fear. First love, yes, that draws us to God. But then you need to have your first fear settled as well. I fear God, I fear no other. I fear God, I fear no man. Because I know Him, He's the King of the angel armies. He's glorious. He is glorious. Do you know what happens when you see God? And you can see that from that verse. You see yourself in context. Like Isaiah, you say, I'm doomed. I'm so not cutting it. I'm so not good enough for God in myself. Keeps you humble. When you see God, you cannot be proud and see God at the same time. Because when you see Him, you are changed. And that's what I experience. Every time I get a glimpse of God, I feel a little bit more humble. Because I see His glory. Okay, so you need to see Him. So then, because then you get your context right. You see yourself clearly, and then you see the people around you clearly. That's what happened to Isaiah. But so he started to fear God or respect God. And so he could do everything God has called him to do. And Isaiah, his words, the book of Isaiah has formed history. There's some of the most beautiful prophecies spoken that formed nations. But he first had to see God. So my question to you, are you seeing God? Are you so overwhelmed with the here and the now that you're so distracted, so fearful of people, so not loving God, not pursuing Him because you're so busy? Or are you seeing Him? That's the key, to see God. So practical, daily. You need to daily see God. I've, over the years, developed the discipline to spend time with God in the morning. And I try not to get out of the house unless I've spent at least an hour in the presence of God. So I'm not talking about just boring devotionals. I'm saying about you pressing in. You're saying, God, I want to see You. I want to connect with You. I want to step into Your throne room this morning so I can walk in Your presence for the rest of the day. It's powerful. But I believe many of us, you storm out. You sleep until 5 minutes before you need to get dressed, and you get dressed and you storm out. And what? How's the day? Usually quite a mess, quite a challenge, because you've not seen God. And if you look at Moses, Moses was the friend of God, and when he was on the mountain, all the Israelites were afraid, they ran away. Moses trembled, but he said, God, show me Your face, because I love You. First love. So you're drawn to this God, but you respect Him, you reverence Him. That's the first step. To see God is the key to becoming a visionary leader. Second one, you need to see God's works. You need to see His hand at work. You need to see His hand at work. Know this, that God is already at work all across the nations. But we need to discern, where is He at work? What is He doing? A visionary can discern that so that he can step out and partner with God, as I'm going to share at the end. There's a danger. If you only see what God is doing, but you're not seeing Him, you're going to go off track. You're going to get lost somewhere. Because you can see, hey, God is here. God is working. God is doing things. But if you are not in love with Him, you'll get misaligned and go off track. Now look at this fascinating scripture. Just the previous chapter, Isaiah. And then God speaks to him about the Israelites. This nation was in a bad spot. They were in a bad place. And then God says, why? Look at this. The harp and the strings, Isaiah 5 verse 12. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute and wine are in their feasts. But look at this. But they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of His hands. Wow. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity. Another translation says exile. They've been exiled because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. The people are dying. Why? Because they could not discern the hand of God. They could not see that God is at work. I believe this happens to so many Christians, but this was a whole nation. They couldn't see. And yet, therefore, they've gone into captivity and they've walked into destruction. They couldn't discern. They went astray. My people go into captivity and exile. I believe that happens to Christians as well. Practically, what does this mean? People in church often, Christians often, get so focused on the issues of church life, or they get so overwhelmed with a church that failed them, or so overwhelmed with leaders that didn't cut it or didn't make it according to their expectation, that they shut their hearts off. They shut their hearts off to those leaders or to the church. I so often speak to people who tell me this, no, that church, da, 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 and that, this, and na, na, na. And it's probably true, but that's not the point. You cannot be somebody that transforms the world when you are swayed by the faults of people. You must be a visionary. You must see beyond it. You must be able to look and see God at work. And so what happens? People exile themselves. They find themselves hearts closed off, blinded, unable to connect with God, unable to see the hand of God. And what happens? They leave church. Maybe they try another one, and then they leave again. Or maybe they just give up on church in general. Because they're not seeing the hand of God. They're not seeing the hand of God. This happened to me some years ago. I almost exiled myself. I went through a bad time in the sense I was in the ministry for 4 years or so. And some things happened. And in a sense, I was demoted. I was in the ministry. I was preaching. I was responsible for different ministries. First youth ministry, then student ministry. And then because of different things, I sort of was demoted to an admin job. I almost died. And my heart started to close off. You see, but my leaders saw things in me that wasn't right. There were character flaws. There was stuff that wasn't right. And so my test came. What are you going to do? Are you seeing God? Are you seeing His hand at work? And at that time, it took months. But at some point, I acknowledged. I looked at the church. I humbled myself first before God and said, God, whatever you want. And then I looked at the church. I looked at Shofar. I looked at what the ministry, all the churches are doing. And I said, I acknowledge, God, your hand is here. This is a God thing. I cannot deny it. This church, group of churches are going to impact the nations. And then I came to a point in my life that I told God, God, I am willing to do an admin job, behind the scenes job for the rest of my life. As long as I can be a part of what you're doing, I'm willing. I'm willing, God, because I see your hand at work. Is it perfect? No, there's no church perfect. There's no leader perfect. But I could see for the first time again. And when I said yes to God, then He started to promote me. Then He started to open doors for me. Then He started to bless me. Then my heart could start breathing again. I could connect with God. I could love my leaders. I could love the people. I was just free. Why? I was seeing. Are you seeing? Are you seeing the hand of God? Or are you overwhelmed with disappointments? Overwhelmed with things like that? So what it's practically speaking, if you've closed off your heart because of disappointments, especially in the church context, it can be any context, but I'm focusing on the church now. I want to encourage you, bring that before God. Bring that before Him and say, Lord, I acknowledge my heart is not in a good place. I acknowledge my heart is closed off. I acknowledge, God, I am blind. I cannot even see you at work in the church anymore. And maybe for some of us, there's on different levels. Maybe that's not you. Maybe your heart's not closed off. But maybe there's another area. Pray to God and say, God, open my eyes to see. I want to see where you are at work. I want to see what you are doing. Open my eyes. So pray that. Start praying that on a daily basis. Because God is at work. The challenge for a leader is not to do his own new funny thing. The challenge of a leader is to discern what is God doing and then partnering with that. That's the challenge. And so God is at work in your workplaces. God is at work in our families. God is at work. The question is, are we seeing it? Are we seeing it? Are you seeing it? Okay, then ending off, last one. So now you have seen God, or you will pursue seeing God, even on a daily basis, glimpses of Him in prayer, in worship, in Scripture. Then you take it further and you say, God, start showing me, where are you at work? I want to see. And now this is the big one. This is the challenge now, to partner with him. Courage. You see, a leader isn't a leader if he's just a dreamer. A leader isn't a leader if he's just a seer. He needs to see, and then he needs to have the courage to step out. You need to have the courage to step out of your comfort zone. For instance, with this Retief Berger, a Heart of Worship week thingy, after the December holidays, I'm not sure, I still have to look at the budgets, I'm still looking for a door out, don't want to do it. And so we're praying, because it's uncomfortable. Now I have to trust God again, you know. And so Sonica, we were praying together, worshiping together, and so I asked the Lord, Lord, must we do it? Should we do it? And then I felt God saying, you need it. You need to be uncomfortable. You need to trust me. Every day of your life, you need to step out and trust me. And so do you. Need to step out of our comfort zones. So look at this, Isaiah 6, verse 8. Later on in that same chapter, it says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? This is God speaking. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Now, in the context of his environment, he would never have said, yes, Lord, I will go to this difficult, rebellious people. But because he saw God and he saw his hand at work, he could say yes. Despite massive challenges, Isaiah said yes. You cannot form your environment or transform your environment without challenges. There will be challenges. The question is, do you have the courage to partner with God? Maybe you have work challenges. Maybe you have so many things going on in your life that there really is just, there's no time for God. I want to encourage you, trust him for time. Trust him to be able to step out and to fulfill what he calls you to do. It takes courage. Now, I believe that church is defined as a place, a hub, a breeding ground for visionary leaders. That's our calling. That's our mission, to raise up leaders that have an impact on this world. That's what Jesus did. He worked with 12 people first, others as well, but primarily 12. He invested in them, and they got up, invested in others, and they transformed the world. That's still the calling of the church. That's still our heart, our mission. My question to you, do you have the courage to partner with God, whatever he shows you? Do you have the courage to go where he leads you? Do you have the courage to step out despite obvious challenges in your way? God will sort out the challenges, but are you willing to partner with him? Do you have the courage to say, God, I want to become a leader, a visionary leader, somebody that can make a difference? In other words, you say, God, yes to the growth process. Yes. I shared this before, but it takes courage to follow God. When I was a student, I remember standing in worship one time, and I saw God, or a glimpse of him. And as I saw him, he revealed my own heart as well. And I saw a lekker vrot heart. What's vrot in English? Rotten to the core heart. Klink het so lekker in Afrikaans. Vrot. And I saw a rotten, God revealed my heart to me. And I realized, it's like God showed me, he will never be able to work through me. He will never be able to do ministry through me unless this sorts out. And so I prayed the prayer of courage. And I said, God, break me. God, break me. I so want to make a difference for you in this world. Break me. Now, he loves those prayers, I promise you. And he walks a road with us. And it's tough sometimes, but I tell you, when you look back, you can ask my wife, every tough time in my life, when I look back, it was the best. I changed. I got free. Do you want to be free? Then say yes to God. Say yes, Lord. Change my heart. Yes, Lord. Set me free from my selfishness. Yes, Lord. Break me free from the sin in my life. Yes, Lord. I say yes to your Spirit to work in my life. It's called discipleship. That's what the church is called to make disciples. And each of us, the challenge is there to say yes, God. I believe, I'm just speaking from the heart this morning, I believe that this church is a God work. I truly believe this church is a God work. 5 years ago when we did a missions trip here with some students, the Lord confirmed to my heart that he does want to plant a shofar church in this town. And then a few years later, 2 years later, the Lord sent Sonic and me, and God told me he wants us to come. And so we came. And then the Lord is leading us continuously. We have no agenda except to glorify Jesus and to follow him. There is no other agenda. But the challenge for each and every one of us is to be able to see that and then to have the courage to step out and to partner with us. That's the challenge. Or to keep our hearts closed, or for some of us to doubt, to be afraid, to think, no, there's an agenda because of past hurts. That's a challenge. Do you have the courage to step out? I am not this amazing to have the caliber and quality of people that are in this church to be here. I am just not that good. You are not here for me. You are here for Jesus. So my encouragement to you is, open your eyes to see. Open your eyes to see. And then practical, what does it mean? To buy into this church if the Lord so leads you to get planted, to join us in prayer on Thursday evenings or whenever, just to pray for the church, to get involved somewhere, to become a member, to say yes to growing and learning so that you can become the visionary leader God has called you to be. This is some ideas. But if the Lord is leading you to another wonderful church, then go for it. Get planted. Get in. Partner with them. So just in conclusion. So will it be easy when you say yes to God? Will every day be a breeze? No. I'm sure some of you have realized. It's not easy. Is it worth it? Absolutely. It is worth it. You see, where there are people, there will be challenges. And church is about people. Church is about people. But when we see God, when you see him, and when you see his hand at work, it's so easy. It's easier. And you have the courage then to step out. And some of you might still not believe me, but look, let's look at the scripture. Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21, ending off with this. In the message, it says it's so interesting. God can do anything. Can you say anything? Anything. You know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Yes, that's our God. Can you dream with us? He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Wow. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Or, amen. This is for us. This is for you. This is for me. This is for us as a church. It is license to dream. It is license to think bigger. It is license to trust in God. And so His Spirit is at work in us, stirring on the inside of us, saying, yes, trust me, believe. Yes, you. No, not the person next to you. You. It's for you. You can be that leader that impacts the world. So imagine for a moment a church where everybody believes this. Sonic and I often speak about this. We are so blessed with this church and with all of you. We've never been a part of anything this precious to us. The relationships is precious to us. We've really made friends. And that's for me amazing. That for me is what church is about. I'll share about that next week as well. But if you're a leader and you find yourself alone on the top, you're not a real leader. A true leader gets to the top and everybody's there with him. Together, team. That's God's heart. Imagine a people that believes this. I truly believe we can then impact this nation, impact this town, impact the community. And God is going to be planting seeds in our hearts so we, which will germinate, which will grow, and then we'll step out in His will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you, God, for every person that's here this morning, Lord. God, we want to celebrate them, their potential, how much you love them, and how much you've put within them. And Lord, our greatest desire, God, is that each one will become everything you've destined them to be. That they will fulfill their potential. That they would live free in love with you, able to discern your hand at work, and then have the courage to step out and follow you. Wholeheartedly, unashamedly. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll open eyes to see Jesus high and lifted up, the Lord of this church, the Lord of our lives. So, Father, we pray for a stirring in our hearts to believe. A stirring in our hearts to hope. A stirring in our hearts to see. Say the following. Say, this is for me. I receive it. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that is at work in our midst, God. We thank you for every time we get together and your presence is here. We are so thankful. We have not deserved your presence or earned it. Oh, but we love you, God. We thank you for every life you have changed. And we thank you for every life that you still will change. Just want to give us an opportunity to respond. If you want to say yes to becoming a visionary leader Somebody that sees. Sees God, sees His hand, and partners with Him. Would you be so bold just to stand? Just to say, God, that's me. I want that. I want that. I want you to minister to my heart. I want you to open my heart. I want you to open my eyes. The starting point is to say for yourself, I want to, God. I believe it's for me. I want to be changed. I want to transform so that others can change and be transformed. Just pray a prayer of consecration unto God. So I'm just going to pray and you can just repeat. Father God, I acknowledge that I am called to be a leader, a visionary. I embrace your promises and I say yes to the process, to the path, to the journey. Lord, open my eyes to see you high and lifted up. Lord, open my eyes to see your hand at work. And then, Lord God, give me courage to partner with you wherever you lead. I pray this in Jesus' name. I just want to pray for you. Holy God, we thank you, Lord, for each and every person here. Expose the lies we have embraced. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we may prophesy, that we may see visions, and that we may dream dreams. Lord, let your Spirit work on the inside of each of us so gently, but so firmly and lovingly to help us step forward, to help us move into your will, to help us become. God, we honor you. And so, Father, we commit this year into your hands. We pray that this will be a year of growing for each of us, God, closer to you, deeper in you. And God, may this be a year where we realize how much you have put on the inside of us. In Jesus' name. And so, Father, we also pray that you deliver each and every one of us from these worms that eat and consume our dreams and our identity. God, may your truth just wash them away. In the name of Jesus. Holy God, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come and stir. Come and impart dreams and visions of what you want to do in this earth, in this church, in this community, in our workplace, in our families. Come and help us to see. And then to move out. God, we worship you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.